This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Wanted because the Matisio emailed me about the pshat we said in that HaKadosh Baruch is mahafach l'toyiv everything if he's has bitachon. So he pointed out that before Nisiv of Avas Hashem, it is a little more mashma that it actually turns around from the Lashon that he says of Mehafech over there sounds as if he actually turns it around. But I looked at it again, and even over there, by the context of it, where it says that it's mashma completely after it's over. It's in Nesiv Avos Hashem. I have it over here on Amud Mem Gimel, and it's in the same sefer. It's the same Chelik Beis. He says over here, he does say Mahapach Osel Tov, and then he says this is not where he's going to be Meirich. He'll be Meirich about it over here. But the mashmos is looking at it. It says kasha yom al adova shner rav ubotech po yizvarach shul toiv az yit na shem zbach oyser ra le toiv kash prochu will make that rabbi of toiv. And then he says over here lefikach amar kiva kom adav rachman otav ovit vipnei ki chol mishpat vidin shabala adu mitzara tov. You know, his mishpat vidin itself comes from tov. That's what he says over there. Kasha bo dvar ma la adam shunira ra also, and so on. So what he says before is that really everything that's Mishpat Din comes from Tov. So its point of origin is Tov. So then he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mehafich it. So the language itself is kind of confusing, but I would like to be medayek from the very way it's written, that it's mashma ke'ilu, the primary inyan is an inyan of, it's because it comes from a broader context, a context of Tov, and therefore the person sees it as such, or he can learn that he's mahafich. Again, my feeling is the language is a little more mashma like he says, but I find it untenable, it's difficult, and I do think it fits in the bigger picture. So as you may have it, those are the two possibilities in pshat. Okay, let's go back. We skipped last time, and he goes through all the different stages that happen. So it says, Rabbi Akiva, the beginning of the paragraph from Reish Lamed Beis on the left side, where it says that Rabbi Akiva was going and traveling. He had a chamor, a tanagol, and a candle. He didn't get accommodated. They came along and ate up the chamor, then the tarnagol, and then the candle blew out. So he says like this: What are these three things? What exactly happened here? Obviously it wasn't just incidental things that weren't good, like at random. There was a seder advar. Kvar amarnu siva ava. Ki elu gimel dvarim him gimel chalke adam shem haguf vanefesh vaseichel. You have the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel. Those are the three chalke adam. This is constantly. This is the chalukah that the Maral uses all the time. Like we said before, the nefesh corresponds to what we would call a person's drives / emotions, and the seichel corresponds to neshama and seichel. So haguf achomri hu misyaches lechamor. The olav rochev hanefesh, vanefesh mesiach salatarnegol shnikra gever veish. So he says like this: the chamor is an animal that represents chomer. I wouldn't want to say the word at its best. Maybe that's worst, or the most chomery of all things. A chamor is an animal that shows very little signs of motion, movement, intelligence, emotions. It's just a thing. And that's why, whereas as a horse has a certain grace and beauty and swiftness, a chamor is basically cargo train. So that's just kule chomer. It is thing. And that's why chamor and chomer, same words and so on. The tarnagol represents the nefesh. First of all, a tarnagol is called gever, which is sort of the male aggressiveness, pushiness, all of those things that we would associate with that tchuna. He also is the one that jumps at the morning. In other words, as soon as the morning, the concept of his orus, awakening, that's something that's very much part of the nefesh adam, in the sense of I am moved to do something, I'm pushed to do something, and that's where the tarnagol is, and that represents the nefesh of the adam. And then he says, and then the candle is going to be keneged the seichel, the oyeres tayra, and all of those things. So it says like this. So aguf achomim misyachs lachamor v'olaroche v'nefesh, ha'nefesh misyachs l'atarnagol shenke gever v'ish. V'yadua ke'nefesh hu tzura, asha tzura nikra ish k'ma sh'yadua, v'achomim nikra isha k'ma sh'yitzboi p'omim harbi. V'lekach oma shahoy loy chamra v'tarnagolta. V'ashlishi is the ner, shu k'negra seichel, sh'nikra ner, shu meir lo'odom. ובכל מוקרם שקרה סייכל נר, כמו שאומר בסכת השבס, פרק מהמדליקין, הזוהר בנר הבלוי בונים פעמים החכומים שקרים את סתור אור. And it's double push, it's a סייכל נר, מי לא דם ביצור ביר דו בזה. I want to add just a נקודה of progression. You know, it's so much more miskavla das when these things have a certain element of progression to themselves. The hallmark of Chomer is it stays where it is. You put down a big block of bricks, you assume they're not going to walk away the bricks. They stand where they stand. A person who is Chomri will stay where he stays. In as much as Chiyus is associated with Tnua, Achai is called misno'aya. It's something which moves, changes, is in flux. So Chomer is not. The next koach, the koach in a person that begins to push him, to move him, and not just to sit there, is the nefesh. So that begins to push the person to do something. So you have the chomer of the person is the most inanimate. And we're talking about not only the physical body, but we're talking about the koach that we would call, what the Shayatusha calls koach yisod ha'ofer. Any of the type of midos in a person of sheval taisa, laziness, depression, apathy, all of them are rooted in this, in the sense of chomer in a person, and that's what the person is. So that's the lowest dog of a person. That's close to misa. The next step is drives, and even if the drive is for something not good or not particularly ruchni, it's already a step better than the person who's apathetic. There's a vert from the Baal Shem Tov, which I always say I'm surprised that they hadn't burned the books yet on account of it, but it's a really, really, it's a very true word. He goes on the pasuk ish asher yedvenu libo, equally true meisasur ish asher yedvenu libo. So he says a mashal. There was a king that had a son who, as too many king's children go, he was not terribly mutzlach, didn't terribly care for very many things. You know, he had the good life and that was it. So he hired a pedagogue to teach him and to sort of try to bring out the best out of him, to try to get something out of him. So one day the pedagogue comes to the teacher, the pedagogue comes to the king, and he's at his wit's end, and he tells the king, you know, the problem just got confounded. not only does your kid not apathetic to the studies, he's now found a girl that he's chasing after. So the king said, wow, he said, that's good news. Because now that he actually started chasing something, we can harness that and get it to do something. So, you know, you'll make a deal with him. He doesn't, you know, he can't go out on a date until he hasn't done this, he's done this. You know, once we have a koach hatnua, we can actually harness it and make something out of it. Because apathy, total apathy, is mavis. There's nothing there to be done. And when you have tenua, the question is which direction. I remember once, this is going back to high school yet, it was in a physics class, they posed a riddle. You're in a sailboat, and there are one or two situations you can face. No wind whatsoever, or a wind going in the opposite direction of that you want to go to. Which is better? And the answer, obviously, is the one going in the opposite direction. Because in sailing, you have something called tacking, which is you can put the sail at an angle, and therefore the wind blows the ship at an angle. So instead of blowing you back to where you were, it can blow out, albeit at a lower speed, in a sort of an angular motion, and then you reverse the sail and go in the other direction further. But as long as there's a wind blowing, you can harness it, do something with it. When a wind is not blowing, there's you ain't going no place. Nothing's happening. That is the problem of something which has no tenua. But when you're moving, you are functioning only in the area that you're occupying between your starting point and end point. You cannot function vis-a-vis what's beyond you if you're blind. That's one issue. And the second issue is you don't have a motivation to go any place if you don't see anything in front of you. So whereas the chiyus that's generated by tenua is limited to the area that you actually occupy before and after, the chiyus that the light gives you is global, in the sense that you can issue commands, send shlichim, make your way to some. In other words, your scope of activities is much greater, and it also is at the end of the day that which triggers activity. So there's a certain progression, not just three things stuck together at random, but when we think of things between inanimate and stationary, to animate and all over, that's the progression from chomer, Surah and R. Okay. The Maral says here is that there is a musik of a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just like gzeiras are blind in a certain way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mafchin between tzaddik and tov when there's a gzeira klalis, so in those types, just like when you mechuyev to kill an ir nedachas, that's the halacha. Just like by Mitzrayim, you know, the mashlis wasn't mafchin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are certain gzeiras that by the nature of it, it's klolius. And therefore, at the tzaddik is included in it, even though the actual execution of it, he's not part of. Let's give an example. Imagine there was a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to chas v'sholem kill out a city. That was Exer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say a person wasn't in that Gezerah, and somebody came, the Nazi came, whoever it was, and he machine gunned everybody down. And this person happened also to have a machine gun, but the bullet missed his heart, and he was greatly wounded, but he managed afterwards to struggle out and was saved. Compare that to a case where the person comes with a machine gun and says, okay, you, out of here, you deserve to live. There's a world of difference in terms of the shinu of hanhaga between those two. In the first case, where he was shot at and wounded and just managed to escape, we heard that he didn't escape the Gzeira and its Kloyus, but even in the Kloyus of Gzeira, that a town be shut down, Chas v'Shalom, a person can escape. There's room to escape over there, and people can survive. Whereas if the Gzeira is in Kloyus in a way, where if you make the person a total exception, there is something that is the size of the nace, the quality of the nace is greater, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not inclined to such nisim. When there's a gzera, and that's the way it works. So he says like this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu included him the gzera.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes.
How did Avraham Avinu know that the gzera on Stoim was shaykh to us for the tzaddikim?
What do you mean? I'm not sure. I'm not following.
Why wasn't it Kalius? And then there's no piskampere.
Exactly. It seems from the way Avraham was being mispalo that he felt the city should be saved on account. In other words, the gzeru is not appropriate. He didn't ask get the tzaddikim out. He basically was saying a city that has a minion of tzaddikim has some elements of good in its structure. You can't say that it's a city devoid of hope. If you have yechidim, so that means the city as a city is a terrible place, and there's yechidim that are unique. But if you have at least a minion, means as a tzibur it has hope. And so he was mispalo on the city on account of that mini tzibur of Tov that would be there. That's the way he was mispalo.
It's just a question. Rabbi Akiva himself.
Yes.
He in some way must have been, it wasn't the mikre that he got his there. On some level, on some something or other, he was mitchayev
I would guess. I don't know. We don't have any indication of what that city was, where it came from, this nav. But just like Lahavdil, in a sense, light by coming into the city was mischayev kolayev because he was part of that. We find in the Gemara Reb Yosi, because Reb Yosi went to a churba. So at the Makom Churba, it's Makom Sakane v'Schayev Kloya. There was something about this city that becoming, because he wanted to go, he intended to go and be part of it. Even if he's just staying over, that makes him sort of part of the city at some dark. If the city was so bad, I assume Rabbi Akiva should have not even wanted to go there. I don't know for sure. Gan Amazah. We don't have any other facts to go by. But the idea was, wherever a person associates himself with, he belongs somewhat to them. Like Locust Stone.
But again, it's not necessarily his free choice. He was obviously walking around. He was obviously
correct.
One doesn't know necessarily.
But on some darga, the fact that he went around and asked to be put up over there. It means that he felt okay being part of that. For somebody that Madrega, wherever you go, it's like Yaakov Avinu said, he asked, "Bekol Amalteichas Kvodi, don't mention me as part of Korach." If Rabbi Akiva saw fit to spend the night there, it means that he's somewhat shaykh. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chochem is not a Mesav to a Suda unless he knows who the other participants are. By association, you're declaring there's something coming. I don't think if a person was traveling, and he would pass by some monastery, some very intensely religious monastery, I think we would feel highly uncomfortable going in and asking to stay overnight, and we might choose to sort of lechatchila stay outside. But if we felt comfortable enough to spend the night there and be associated to some darga, and this was a town that was lechuyev of kloya for some reason. So, again, I have all the details, but just these are the facts that he gives us. He wanted to spend some time, and this town was imminently on the cusp of Xera, so that means there was some sort of Nakuda that was willing to associate with that wasn't told. So, so he needed to be the Hainashia Nishpa Kemoicha Nishpa Shariah. Bimoy Nishpa, so if they would have actually caught him, they would have been part of Xera. And that Xera would have had three implications. Vashem Zorotzasa Zorakiva Savav de Loya Vele Yoshpiza. I want to add something about Rabbi Akiva. What is the main mission? Kashahoy be'ir vayu bechlal oisik gzeir lus nishpa. When he was in the city, there was chalun that gzeira. V'efshos le gzeira sheyotzes ala ir gankin sholot bo. It would have been sholot him also. Ve'ine efshos lo yases a boi roishim shol dvar ma. It can leave some roishim. Olafikoch osa arye v'ochla chamoer. So you had all these things take its place. Now, the first thing he's saying here is the concept of tumura means that to some degree Midas Hadin has been satisfied. Yes, you know, his seichel went, this went, so kind of Midas Hadin has been satisfied, and he suffered, like we said before, at least the bullet grazed him, so he's sort of shaykh to it. I'd like to say it's interesting in Rabbi Akiva, in his own life he had three stages where he was. I guess went along these lines. When Rabbi Akiva was a Royat Sain, so Rabbi Akiva was so, I don't like words, such an Amaretz that he said Anashchena Kichamor, bring me Talmud Chacham and I will I'll kill him like a chamor. In other words, he saw himself as a chamor. That's one thing. Secondly, he compared himself to a stone. In the sense that it says like water made a hole in the stone. So to him, that's sort of a that I would say is that's a remiss that the first part of his life before he was learned at all, he was a completely like Homer totally. Secondly, his push to go learn was extraordinary in the sense that he was a, it says holach kimisha holach lomo. He went to learn. In other words, that was the drive. And in his final part, he enlightened the world. The world was the Torah of Akiva is the aura of the world. And Shem Yehoyah says that his Torah is the trumas of Akiva's midas. In other words, he progressed from something that was called a stone, which is as chayim as you can get, background to something which was the most, it went the whole gamut of drive and push all the way into Lara. But the concept it says here is at the root where he says that they took these three things. And he says himself, the whole musig of kaparis, where you're doing something, and this kaparis as we have it, and there is the many times you find that this is tmuras this is tmuras that. You find it in many places. Whether to take out the chatoyim to the yam, or when somebody's niftan, that's Yisrael, the minig is you break a cheres, and that's ki'ilu, the soil azazel. The musig is that a slight, if something else represents you, it's sort of you, then the gzera has been disguised to some degree. Like the mashal we gave, the difference between being totally out of the gzera to being in the gzera, but having some sort of light form of it. So the tmura of a person is somewhat it's somewhat him, and that's, and he says of it, umizir raya gemur na gemara likach tarnigol lichapor al nafshe b'Rav Yom Kippur bedav zeidua, and that's why we make kaparis. That's the musik of kaparis with a tarnigol. It's interesting for another reason. So first of all, it's a marker. It gives a certain havana of the tarnigol. The bizman beis hamikdash, the soyer hamishtaleach, was our kapara. Today we don't have a tarnigol as some sort of representative of it. The both the soyer and the tarnigol have a tchuna. Let's look at the person's kochas hanefesh. In the world of seichel, what you call seichel, what we would call neshama, there's no chet. Wherever there's or means there's no chet, and by definition, person's never chet to his neshama. Neshama, what he does is he distances himself from his neshama, he disconnects his neshama. The guf itself, mitzat atzmoi, is not a bar avera because it has no yetzer. There's a musig in halacha in mishamish with aver mace. If a person mishamish with aver mace, it doesn't have a din of arayis. It's nothing, because if it's on the shloike derech hanaosay, anything that's devoid of inciting a person's drives doesn't have the chumra of the avera. So if somebody ate something and it's not tasty, it's not terribly edible, it's not, doesn't have the yisur. The makom of avera lies specifically in a person's koach of sheifos, ritzonos, chukas, taivas. That middle chelik over here that we're talking about, that chelik of something between the drives of a person, is what avera is. Chazal said, the lezoshen Chazal is so shavi isem akiv. It talks about the yetzahara and calls it Sa'or. Sa'or is the active agent that causes flux, movement, change in dough. Dough is also kind of Chalas Ha'aretz. It's kind of just, dough is a piece of dough. It's Chomer, and it's bulk. And anybody who's eaten matzah knows exactly what bulk is. When you put in yeast into it, it ferments. There's bubbling, there's action, and that's the chelik, the real chelik of Ra is that. That's soil azaz is also a goat is an animal as opposed to a sheep, which tends to be very docile. A goat is full of energy and kind of it's a lot more. It's graceful. It has motion. It gets into trouble. A goat is very much represents that. So if we're looking for things to represent the chelik ha'adam most associated with avera, it's that middle chelik represented by the tarnigol, and this is where we have a marker for it. Ulefikach amar Rabbi Akiva, kol ma'adav rachmana letav. And it even, this is like all minhagim. I mean, kapara is very fascinating. I mean, Shavaruch says it's a bad minhag, it's a minhag amaroyim, and so on. And and others say it's a great minhag, but the minhag certainly has in itself content. It's not idle. Kol Yisrael's minhagim are not just kind of the idle minhagim. Kol Yisrael's minhagim have shashim, the koros, and you can have a machlokus as to whether or not we should do the minhag, but b'yisoidei, b'shashay, the minhagim are all have great depth in themselves. That's the metzias of it. So he says the mizeh ray megumur nagmor likach tarnigel kapar nasha v'kibud of zedu. Well, the fikam of kiva koma rachon tav kloima ki boteach b'Hashem ki mashe nasal l'tav avit. This is what we spoke about last time, and again, I admit the Lashon is mashma, like he said, that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it into Tov, but if you look into the content of it, nothing changed afterwards. I mean, it came, when the lion came and ate up this, this is going to die. It's only nefach letov because he was nimlat from the gzeir of the town. So, what are we going to say? That HaKadosh Baruch was goyiz on the town afterwards in order it should be good for Akiva? It doesn't make any sense. It's not that if HaKadosh Baruch would have continued and because of the Tainagol was eaten up, something good would have come out for him, I would say pshat like that. But what happened here was All that happened was that it was saved from being included to town. So, and that seemed to have been nigzer before. It's impossible to say that HaKadosh Baruch killed out the town so that they can feel good about losing his or and his chamor and his tanigol. So, Bal Korchach, you have to say that's what it means. Today I heard a story from someone. I have a guest by me. He's a rabbi from Eretz Yisrael. He comes here once every year or every other year or so. He collects. He's a chashav person, probably chacham, and he's a tzaddik. He's a really special person. And he was telling us a little bit the last year. He had the difficult year. He had an operation. He was very not well, and the operation itself seemed to be okay, but they messed up his. Anesthesia, something got messed up, and he couldn't. He lost all feelings in the leg. On the, when he woke up, one of the legs he couldn't. He had no sensation, and whatever he tried didn't work. And they basically wrote down on his report that. That he needs to be especially careful about falling, because he doesn't have sensation in the leg, and he's basically dragging the leg, and it's especially dangerous to fall, and he needs to take all precautions about falling, and so on and so forth. A few months later, he fell, and he broke his foot, and he had to have a special cast. He was laying for a few weeks in the cast. When they took off the cast, he got back his feeling in his foot. Where he felt that his tzaras had been compounded, something good actually came out. I don't know the explanation for it. I don't know. But I mean, he's sitting by me. He's here. Right? It's like it's someone that he told me. That was an incredible event. Okay. Any questions? Anything? Because the next piece is a longer piece. I don't want to start it now. Okay, so good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Shabbat.
Okay.
And,
Rabbi
Elazar, thanks for this forum, everything.
Okay, Mr. Gomor. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bye.